Looking, closing out, building up one another. We looked at various one another principles, one another, their principles, in a sense, their commands, because they are set up for us in the church age. How are we supposed to treat each other? What type of relationships are we supposed to have? And we've looked at a wide array of them. We're all members of one another. We're part of the same body. We're supposed to serve one another. We've looked at that and actually expanded that particular point. To encourage one another, these things that we are called to do for other members of the body of Christ really are stuff we'd like to have for us. But the hickey's put on us to do that if nobody else does that for us. One of the things I found is that sometimes when people want to be encouraged, the best advice you can give them is find somebody you can encourage. Because when we start considering other people more important than ourselves, that's one of the best things that we can possibly do. Now, Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25, is where the writer of Hebrews picks up the concept of faith, hope, and love. He's been writing to the Jews, okay, and he's been explaining some things as we go along, explaining, in fact, a lot of the typology of the tabernacle, the priesthood, and things of that nature. And then in chapter 10, he says, these things are but a shadow of the things to come. And he starts explaining how there's one sacrifice for sin for all time. There's no longer any Levitical offerings to be made. And then when he gets into verse 19, he starts giving some exhortations that are found in this. Since we have the confidence to enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with confidence so that we might find, that's actually chapter 4, but he says, let us draw on near. And then what we find when we get to verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold on to the hope that we have, right? Previously, what has he talked about? He says, let us draw near with a full load of faith. So he got faith, hope, and now love. He's going to be revealing to the Jewish believers that they're still trying to figure out what's happened, because they're right in the middle of a dispensational change. Where there's a change of priesthood, of necessity, there's a change of law. The change of priesthood actually occurred on the day of Pentecost, right after the resurrection of Christ. But it took them a while to realize that there had been a change. That no longer was it Levitical priests that were in power, but instead a universal royal priesthood for all believers that were in power. So he says, here you are, and I want you to hold fast on your faith. Now, verse 24 is where we left off. And he says, and let us consider. Kata noeo, as noeo is a word, means to think. Kata means based on a standard. So when we're thinking based on a standard, he says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, stimulate is a word that paroxysmos. I can't even hardly say it. It's only used twice, so thankfully I don't have to say it very often. But it means to sharpen or to provoke. Now, do you know anybody can provoke you? Some people just have a way of grating on you, right? That's just, you know. He says, okay, this is taking it in the right direction, okay? Because let us consider how to stimulate one another to love, agape, not to anger, not to all of the other stuff that we provoke people to, but let us consider how to stimulate one another to agape love and good deeds. Kalos is the word for good here. There's multiple words for good in the New Testament. Kalos means it's inherently good in and of itself. Accepting the gospel, that's inherently good. Okay, doing things for the cause of Christ, inherently good. And deeds is ergos, which is just the word for works. So where does works come into our Christian life? After we're saved. You can't work to get saved, stay saved, or to prove you're saved. You can't do it. So what you do is accept the fact you are. Let's see, when the roll is called up yonder, I wish I would be there. Is that what it says? How many people sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, and then they wonder if they're saved or not? Well, you can't legitimately sing that song if you don't think you're saved. I grew up in a church, and we sang that song all the time. And I mean, we actually had people who clapped along with it, and they could keep it in time and all that, and the clapping got louder as we went through the song, and they were having a good time, and they were singing that, and they believed you could lose your salvation. Okay, those two things don't go together. You can be joyously wrong, and sometimes people, that's what they were. Now, this third exhortation, okay, exhorting us to faith, that's the first one. Hope, that's the second one. The third one is love, involves the acts of planning and implementation. Let us consider, think about it, how to stimulate, move other people, encourage other people, one another to love and good deeds, planning and implementation. Consider how to do it. That's what a local church should do. That's what a local church should do. And see, here we are. Do we have any opportunities like that? Well, we actually do. There are a lot of places that you can join in around the church. And everybody, as a believer, has got a spiritual gift. Now, some people are better at some things than other things, and that's just because that's the gifting is different. I think there's about 10 permanent gifts that he left for us here in the church: pastor, teacher, service, helps, mercy, grace. You know, there are different things that he has gifted us with by the Holy Spirit. And figure out how to work together. Figure out how to let different gifts come out and let them be able to serve one another. Isn't that what we're told to do? Serve one another so we can build up one another. And by the way, you want to experience God, you want to know he's there, follow these principles. Hang on to your faith. Bring a full load. Lord, I trust you completely. Might not understand you, but I'm willing to learn. Because if you're willing to learn, he's willing to teach. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a promise that is there. So planning and implementation, that's part of what a church does. We have a church constitution. We put the constitution together, and basically different people get different assignments. And then we have people that, if you want to serve, you want to work, you want to help, it's up to the deacon board to figure out a way to get you plugged in. Okay? And if nobody wants to get plugged in, it's up to the deacon board to figure out how to plug you in. Okay? That's what this is. Isn't it? It's about planning something and implementation. Just like being able to come together for a meal. There's a lot of work goes into planning a meal. Set up, tear down, food preparation and all that, a lot of coordination that goes into work. But that's an opportunity whenever we have a fellowship meal to be able to come together and say, okay, I'm going to join in. And I know a lot of people joined in by stopping by KFC on the way over. And that's fine. You know, that's... God didn't lay down any rules and say, this is the way you got to join in. Okay? He just said, he gave us a function. And then he said, you figure out the form. If we were under the Mosaic law, he gives us all the forms. Bring the animal, do this, cut the throat this way, divide up the animal this way. All the forms are specified. Make the tabernacle exactly according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain. He's specifying forms. New Testament, he set us all free, right? He gives us principles. Learn to serve one another, love one another, encourage one another. What form does he specify? None. He gives us the freedom. So as church age believers, when he says do it, figure out a way to do it. Pray about it. I've heard people say, I don't know what my ministry is. Okay? Well, have you prayed about it? Have you asked for wisdom? Have you woke up with an intentionality about you on every morning and go, Lord, I want to serve you. Show me how. Because I fully believe he will. He will. Sometimes you go, Lord, you show me enough, I need a break. Because he will show you how to do things. The plans need to be designed for function. Okay? The plans need to be designed for function. We have to be careful about specifying forms. Okay? This is the way it's got to be done. Now, I know of some churches in different places, and they'll tell you how you're supposed to sit, where you're supposed to sit, and they've got all kinds of stuff. You want to sit on the floor here, you're fine. Okay? We're happy with that. I mean, seriously, because the important thing is the function. The important thing is you show up. That's coming up in the next verse. The Greek word for stimulate is intense enough that if necessary, one must awaken others to action in faith, hope, and love. When it says consider how to stimulate one another, and the other use of the word stimulate is Ephesians 5:14, which says, awake sleeper, arise from the dead. In other words, get out of bed, and Christ will shine on you. See the two conditions there? Awake. If you're spiritually asleep, wake up spiritually. Rise from the dead. Okay, you may have been playing dead along the way, hoping nobody'd bother you. And Christ will shine on you. See the promise that comes in there? Over and over in the New Testament says, here's a condition. Meet the condition. God takes it over from there. Just like draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, the objective of the stimulation is twofold. First of all, it's love toward one another. A love toward one another, let's consider how to stimulate one another to love. Okay? Now, what's love? Love is doing what's right and best, even when you don't feel like it. I think I've actually ran into people over the course of time that decided they were going to irritate the fire out of you just to get you the opportunity to love them. Have you ever met anybody like that? They want to figure out some way to stir up problems and grade on you. Because that's what this word means, grading on somebody. So they just want to figure out some way to do it to get you to love them. This is stimulate to love one another. See, it's not trying to manipulate somebody into loving you. Inherently, good works like prayer. What are these? Stimulate one another to inherently good works. You know, prayer is really good. When we send out a prayer request, it is so nice to know that there are people that receive that request and they start praying. You know, and our prayer list, there's not a whole lot of people in here, but our prayer list is over 100 people. They get those prayer requests, depending on what it is. If it's just something that is for TBC local only, we're the only ones need to know something, a request, and it goes out there. We have like three different lists. Then we have a snow list, and we send out a snow list to a lot of people because they tune in to the live stream and stuff. And if we're not going to be here, there's no sense in, you know, wasting their time or anything to do that. And then we have a big list called Trinity. And it goes out to Trinity, and these are people that have passed through Trinity over the years. And they still want to know, and they still want to pray, and they still know all of you. So when a prayer request goes out, normally it's going out to over 100 people that are connected with us, who love and care for one another. This is inherently good works. Stimulate one another to good works like prayer, like praise, and service. When we get together and sing hymns of praise to the Lord, in Christ alone my hope is found. Didn't we just talk about hope in the last verse? He is my light, my strength, my song. Great, great verses in that, right? And what I loved was we didn't have the right words entered into the new easy worship there's some things that are not easy about this new program we have because it wouldn't let us transfer all this other stuff that Seth over the years had so diligently changed in there to get the words right and the songs and all this other stuff. So we got a bunch of public domain songs. That's why when I saw John Newton up there on that song, we got the wrong words up there. But you know what was exciting about it? Most everybody knew all the words anyway. Wasn't that cool? Musicians, you know, Galen and Brian could go ahead and play the song and everybody sang along. Now that was good, because that's praise that seems to be coming more from the heart instead of coming off of a printed page. And service, those are inherently good things, how you serve the Lord. Now this exhortation is clearly corporate in nature. It's not just for the elected leadership of a church. Okay? Why? We're all part of this local body. So we ought to be able to figure out ways to help other people plug in and serve the Lord through this body. Now notice that these verses are a call to active faith, hope, and love. Some people just see them as ethereal concepts of faith, hope, and love. Faith is all about the object. So faith is about your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe He's coming back one day? I think everybody in here does. I thought He was coming back in 1981. Okay? But are we ready for Him to come back? When the roll is called up yonder, that's the rapture, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Why? When it's called up yonder. I want everybody that's listening to this, whenever the rapture happens, go hallelujah and not manna, which means what is it? Okay? I want us to be in tune and aware for that. It's a call to an active faith. I really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today, and I actually believe more than I did in the day I believed. All of us should be at that point. And then hope, that's about faith for the future. And love, that's the one that takes some thought. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, this is how church is measured. Faith, hope, and love. It's what we have tracked. We've done it more than once here at the church. How do you measure a local church? You measure it by the number of people attending, by the size of the building, by the condition of the property. How do you measure it? Because honestly, our property is a little over 2 acres here, and it'll fit in the lobby of a lot of churches. Okay? But I would stack this little band of believers up against any of them because of faith, hope, and love. Okay? Because that's what's important. You know, how many people? That can be a really bad measuring stick. Because I've read a lot of books on church growth, and they say a lot of the big mega churches are just a revolving door. People going in and out. And then they don't ever have any solid ground. It's like the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower, 4 different kinds of soils. One was the person that the devil snatched it away. They never believed. Another one was the one that sprung up a little bit, you know, sprouted a little bit, and then the sun came out and it wilted. Kind of like the moonflowers I've got in my backyard. I'm not supposed to tell you that. I don't know if they're legal or not. They just don't smoke them. It's not a what people can come up with to do. I'm going to ask the Lord one day, who's the guy that walked by the moonflowers and said, let's smoke those? Why do people think about such stuff? Anyway, and then the third group of people are the ones that, well, when the sun came out, the moonflowers wilted. Third group, they grew up, they sprouted up, and then the weeds get set in. Now, I have that happening on some of my shrubbery around the house. with a vine that Helen planted, and I asked her not to plant nicely, and she planted anyway. Because I painted houses, I knew what they did. They eat buildings is what they do. The brick, wood, you name it. And they're coming in. They're going to kill those plants if I don't get out there and pull those weeds off of them. That's what happens. That's called the distractions and the worries of life. He explains it for you in the parable of the sower. And the last one is the one that sprouts up, endures the sun, endures all the weeds, does all that, and really produces fruit. And that's where we want to be. 1 Thessalonians 1:1-3, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. If you're an individual and that's how you're living your life, you're in the presence of our God and Father. Whether you know it or not, you're in the presence of our God and Father. In verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians 1, it says you're a model church, a tupos church. You're the one setting an example. So what is required of a model church? Faith, hope, and love. Colossians 1, verses 3 to 6, we give thanks to God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard the word of truth, the gospel. The rest of the churches are usually missing one. They're missing faith, hope, or love, or like the Corinthians, all three. And you know what the writer writes about? How to fix the problem of the one or two that are missing. And you can track it all the way through the letters to the churches in Revelation. Now, because it's the measure of a church, it's also the measure of an individual. If it's the measure of a body of believers, it's a measure for an individual. So love and good works are so important in the Christian life that it's valid to preach it. Obviously, love and good works are so important it's valid to preach it. Proclaim it. Exhort it. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And the 9th exhortation in the book of Hebrews, this is the 3rd exhortation in this paragraph. Think about how to love and serve better. So no matter how good you're doing, if you read Paul's writings, he says, I want to commend you on your love for one another to the Philippians. He said, but I want your love to abound all the more. The bottom line is, we never get to the end point of faith, hope, and love. We can always trust Jesus more. We can always be more fully ready for eternity, and we can always love other people better. Now, verse 25, he tells us how to go about doing it. Not forsaking. This word is a weak negative with a participle, present participle, and it's a word that means to leave behind. It says not doing it in an ongoing way. Our own assembling together. Oh, I like this word. It's episynagoge. We get synagogue from this word. It's the word that they use for synagogue in the Greek Old Testament. Episynagoge. It's only used twice. Used in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. We'll look at it here in just a minute. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Now, habit is the word ethos, ethic. It's a standard. He said, for some people in the church, it's the habit to not assemble themselves together. So, if we want this faith, hope, and love, part of it is assembling ourselves together. Why? I don't like those people. They don't like me. That's the point. What we need to do is figure out how to love one another. Isn't that what he just said? Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That means we're going to have some disagreements along the way as to how to do stuff. Okay? And what do? Fight like cats and dogs, or sit down and figure out how to work it out? Sounds like we should sit down and figure out how to work it out. Okay, so And then he says, as the habit of some, but, strong adversative, much to the contrary, encouraging one another. He says, come together and encourage one another. And I've mentioned this many times. Anytime any of you show up, I'm encouraged. Seriously. Just your very presence. You don't have to say anything. You know, it's not... It's just the encouragement that I have a meeting with friends in the faith. And that is a blessing to me, truly a blessing. So when you show up, when you're not here, I wonder about you. Okay? Do I call you all the time and say, where were you? Why weren't you at church? I don't do that. Okay? Because I figure all of you here are grown up enough, you got reasons for it. And that's between you and the Lord. So that's okay. But the encouragement, when I get to see you from time to time, is a lot of fun. It's encouraging for me. And hopefully, it encourages you too. When you show up and see the same group of people that you have seen before, it's not like you're walking into a... You know, what was that song? I walked into the party. You're so vain. You remember that song? You're so vain. Walked into the party and all that. It's not like, well, I'm glad they can see me. I'm glad I'm here. But instead, this is the thing of I recognize some people. Hey, because when other people are coming together for the cause of Christ, it's encouraging. It's interesting being overseas. You know, over here we can fight like cats and dogs. I mean, that's we're consider how to make other somebody else madder than the, you know. Anyway, instead, when you go overseas, and I've been in a lot of places. I was in a church two Sundays ago in Uniontown, and I'd never been in there before. And it's a new church just getting started up, and I did the same thing I'm doing right now. Same Bible verses, same lessons and everything, because just to give them something to get started with. And it was encouraging to see them, but then they turned all the lights on the stage and turned all the lights off in the audience. I couldn't see any. I couldn't say how many of you hold up your hand because I couldn't see their hands out there. But you kind of get put on the spot. But still, I was encouraged that there was that many shadows that showed up out there that I could see, and what a blessing to be able to interact with people. And for them to go back to a church that size and see people they knew was an encouragement to them. And sometimes we need to maybe just offer a good word of encouragement. He says, encouraging one another and all the more. All the more is tousautos, which is used to show degree. It's an interesting thing. Are you doing good? He says, okay, all the more as you see the day drawing near. The word see is blepo, which means to take a glance at. You can see it. I think we can all see it. All we got to do is turn on the news and everything is coming together. It's absolutely fascinating the way everything is coming together. Even the stuff that you think is good is bringing it all together. I mean, it's fascinating to me to watch. And he says, you see it, and especially as you see the day drawing near. Drawing near is a gizo, just getting closer and closer and closer. So, are we seeing the day drawing near? The stimulation, the sharpening of one another comes about through assembling together. Okay? It's important to do that. Now, I know there are some situations where it's got to be online. Let it be online. Don't throw those away because you can't assemble together. Let it be online because that's a good thing. If we're studying the Word of God, that's a good thing to be able to do that. Now, for relationships to develop, believers need time with one another. For relationships to develop, believers need time with one another. So, was there enough quality time? And, you know, our little church breathes. It's been interesting over the last 34 years. We have, you know, we started off with somewhere between 30 and 50 people. Guess what we still have? Okay? And out of those 30 to 50 people, we got, you know, Riley and Seth and Galen, and we've, you know, added, subtracted, Carol's. We've, you know, out of those people, and we've been down to very few people. One Thursday night, because we were meeting at a Seventh-day Adventist church, I had a Thursday night class and nobody showed up. Now, you want a little discouragement in your life? That was a little bit of discouragement. Nobody showed up. So we were, you know, we've had people move off. We've had people die. We've had people come in. And I mean, that's exciting to me. When we see, you know, a lot of, I call you new people. You've been here 4 or 5 years now, probably. You know how time goes whenever you hit a certain age. It's just like, gosh, I just got the Christmas decorations put up. It's time to get them out again. But having people come in, that's part of the way an organism, well, it would be hard to outlive that one, won't it? Organisms happen. Got everybody woke up. That'll go out on the internet. Yep. Oh, gosh. You might as well embrace it when you do something stupid. You can't get rid of it. Anyway, we need time with one another. And that's how organisms grow. We add, subtract, we come together, and it's a blessing to watch it all happen. Now, Scripture does not prescribe how often or in what format the assembly must take, though it does describe via example. It describes via example. Assembling together, the habit of some. Does it have to be on Sunday? No, it can be on Saturday. It doesn't tell us what to do in the church and leave it to the church to argue over what day we're supposed to assemble. Now, it's a consistent assembly that they're talking about, consistently assembling with one another. So it does, on the first day of the week, they got together. That's the pattern that we follow. After the apostles, after the resurrection of Christ, the ascension, they would get together on the first day of the week to honor the day that he rose from the dead. That's what the church started off doing, rather than meeting on the Sabbath day. You know, like the Jews did. Were they told to do that? Nowhere I can find the Scripture. Were they told it? Do they tell us to do that? Nowhere I can find in Scripture. What are we supposed to do? Come together on a consistent basis. Okay? And so, I'm running out of time. But I've seen so many legalisms on that. I know a pastor that was doing like 8 Bible classes a week, some of them during the day on work days, and expecting and demanding everybody be there. And I'm going, come on, guys. Use a little common sense. A little common sense. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and grace and all your blessings and all your tests. And Father, we thank you that your hand has been upon each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you that we're able to come together in a free country. We often don't realize what a great blessing this really is until we get some information from some of our friends overseas and they are in fear for their lives just to come together to worship you. So, Father, let us appreciate it. Let us take advantage of it. And let us use it to grow in our Lord Jesus Christ, for we ask it in his name. Amen.